No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 21st day of October. Welcome, everyone. What a joy, what an honor, and what a privilege it is to be here with each and every one of you on your journey through the Bible in chronological order. This is a safe space, this community, and I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And I am so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you that are here. What a beautiful community you all are. Today we continue in the Gospels reading Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9 verses 28 through 62. This week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I will set up 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified. Jesus came up, touched them, and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." So the disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" "Elijah is coming and will restore everything," he replied. "But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they didn't recognize him. On the contrary, they did whatever they pleased to him. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." And the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. When they reached the crowd, a man approached and knelt down before him. "Lord," he said, "have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus replied, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and from that moment the boy was healed. Then the disciples approached Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" "Because of your little faith," he told them. "For truly, I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." As they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up." And they were deeply distressed. When they came to Capernaum, those who collected the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he went into the house, Jesus spoke to him first. "What do you think, Simon? From whom do earthly kings collect tariffs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" "From strangers," he said. "Then the sons are free," Jesus told him. "But so we won't offend them, go to the sea, cast in a fish hook, and take the first fish that you catch. When you open its mouth, you'll find a coin. Take it and give it to them for me and you." Mark chapter 9. Then he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves to be alone. He was transfigured in front of them, and his clothes became dazzling, extremely white, as no launderer on earth could whiten them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's set up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," because he did not know what to say, since they were terrified. A cloud appeared, overshadowing them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept this word to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" "Elijah does come first and restores all things," he replied. "Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did whatever they pleased to him, just as it is written about him." When they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." He replied to them, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me." So they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. "From childhood," he said. "And many times it has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him." Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out, shrieking and throwing him into terrible convulsions. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. After he had gone into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he told them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer." Then they left that place and made their way through Galilee, but he did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise 3 days later." But they did not understand this statement, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, because on the way they had been arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and servant of all." He took a child, had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." "Don't stop him," said Jesus, "because there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name who can soon afterward speak evil of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. And whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can you season it? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another." Finally today, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 62. About 8 days after this conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them. They became afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent and at that time told no one what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he's my only child." A spirit seizes him. Suddenly, he shrieks, and it throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth, severely bruising him. It scarcely ever leaves him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." Jesus replied, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." As the boy was still approaching, the demon knocked him down and threw him into severe convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all astonished at the greatness of God. While everyone was amazed at all the things he was doing, he told his disciples, "Let these words sink in. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement. It was concealed from them so that they could not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. An argument started among them about who was the greatest of them. But Jesus, knowing their inner thoughts, took a little child and had him stand next to him. He told them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. For whoever is least among you, this one is great." John responded, "Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us." Don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. When the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he determined to journey to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of himself, and on the way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But they did not welcome him, because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were traveling on the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus told him, Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. Lord, he said, First let me go bury my father. But he told him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the news of the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to those at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Can we talk about Peter at the beginning of the reading today? Anybody ever been Peter? Just like doesn't know what to say because he's so overwhelmed, so like, this moment, I don't know what to do with it. So let me just sputter out, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Like, let's not talk about the elephant in the room that Moses and Elijah just showed up, but Peter wants to build them a shelter. Peter, brother, Pete, Petey, I feel you. I could give so many examples, but I would absolutely humiliate myself. Let's just say that I have been Peter on more than five occasions. There's lots that we could talk about today, but let's just jump down to the temple tax. Now, when we think of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, both fully God, fully man, I would dare to say that I would think that God doesn't have to pay taxes if he doesn't want to. But that's not what we see here today. The collectors of the temple tax approach Peter. Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? They tax the people they have conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. Now, again, I just want to reiterate, this is Jesus. This is fully God and fully man. This is the Savior, the Messiah, the King. He will be the King of the Jews. I think we need Jesus to not pay taxes so that we can appease our own rebellion of what we are not willing to do, of what we want to get out of as much as we can. And I'm not just talking about financially here. I'm not talking literally about taxes. I'm talking about, well, let me just put it in really plain terms. I'm talking about our entitlement that tells us we are not going to do anything that we do not think we should do. Or even further, we are not going to do anything that we are above doing. I want to be really careful here on how I word this. And I also want to reiterate that I am coming from a place that my entitlement led me to a very dead-end road. Our pride has us so deceived. Our eyes are so closed sometimes. Our ears are unwilling to hear this for our own selves. Sometimes we think that it is for everyone else and not applicable. I want you to know that I'm speaking to my own heart here and now today. If we are only ever going to tell God what we are not and what we are going to do, we are no different than the people that Jesus is calling out on their hypocrisy. Jesus modeled, he didn't just speak, he modeled how we should live. Are we paying attention? Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for how this rubs us sometimes. It can be so uncomfortable because we are so unwilling to take a look at our own selves in the mirror. We hear this and oftentimes think it is for everyone else except for us. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts? Offend the mind to reveal the hearts of your children and change us from the inside out, I pray. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Blessings, dear family. This is Rose, also known as Under the Shelter of His Arms. I am calling on the 14th, but I just finished listening to the 13th. Amazing and so much fun, and I'm sure all of you feel the same way, that we get to, those of us that are double dabbers, get to listen to Brian and Jill's adventures in Istanbul and now in Cappadocia twice. And so loving it. And I mentioned this on DAB that I grew up in the ancient faith of Orthodoxy and took so much of it for granted. And then in my early 20s, when I was on my side, I went to a non-denominational meeting where I had heard that Jesus really loves me. Not that I didn't know that growing up, but it was, you know. And so began my journey of just falling in love with Jesus, regardless of what denomination I attended, but just knowing that I was raised in such a loving Christian home. And I guess the reason for my call really is just to encourage Brian and Jill to keep going. And when you said, gosh, I hope that, you know, we're not saying anything to upset anyone, Brian said, well, if this can be found anywhere, you're not. You are so blessing us as your family. You're so, so blessing us with sharing your journey, everything from the meals to people to your stories. I can't even begin to tell you how much it has meant to me. I just buried my little brother a week ago, and being a part of this family has healed my heart more than anything else. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all so much. I do pray for all of you. I don't call in as much as I would like to, but please know that you are always in my thoughts and in my prayers. And again, Brian and Jill and Ezekiel, thank you so much for taking us on this incredible journey. I love you all so, so much.
This is your brother in Baltimore, Maryland. Congratulations and God bless you for passing your bar exam. And now you are a full-fledged attorney. Well done. Well done. Praise God. Secondly, BAB family, I need you to continue to pray for me as I am closing in on the defense of my dissertation very, very soon this fall. Please keep that in prayer. And also keep me in prayer about walking in humility around this thing, because knowledge can puff up, but but I don't want to be puffy. I want to walk in love and build up in love. That's all. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Good morning. I'm Joy from North Carolina, asking for prayer for my son, John. I don't call in and ask for prayer often, hardly at all, but I do pray. I listen every single day. This is such a blessing, such a blessing. It keeps me going. But anyway, about John, I'm praying, asking for mercy for him for Monday. He has a hearing for probation. He's in North Dakota in jail. I'm praying that God shows mercy and that he will be able to do as God wants him to do, be able to follow God as he has God in his heart. I want him to show, not to say, but to show. Also, Kingdom Speaker Daniel. Sorry, but I can truly say I understand. I lost my son a few years ago. He was 47. My husband found him in his bedroom. He lived with us. I know, but I can say that God will be with you. He will be standing right there, holding you, carrying you through this painful, painful time. I pray for you and your family and your ex-wife.
Good morning, Debsy fam. This is Lady of Victory on Friday, October 17th. Just wanted to call in and say thank you to all of you all who have called in to give your prayers, your condolences, your heartfelt love for your brother KSB. As you heard his message on October 13th, that he is devastated, as he should. Viola and Bianca and Sheena and Hannah as well. And so I just wanted him to thank you all just again for coming through for him. I think Tilly from Florida said, you know, again, like no parent should have to experience this, and yet, you know, here he is. So thank you guys so much, you know, for your prayers. Please do continue to lift him up in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, because this is not something that you get over. Daniel and his family will never be the same. And it doesn't matter, you know, what the relationship, that was still a child, and they will never be the same. And so your prayers, that with the fervency that you're sending forth, please continue on his behalf. And again, I'm sure, you know, as time goes on, he will call me in, but thank you all.